When I was a boy, I used to watch television with my grandmother. I would sit in the middle of the sofa, and she would stretch out over two seats, resting her legs in my lap. She often felt pain in her hands, and she'd ask me to rub them in mine. When I did, her fingers would relax, and she'd smile. Sometimes she'd start to hum melodically, and her voice would make a vibration that reminded me of a cat's purr. She wasn't a large woman, but her hands were surprisingly stout, with broad fingers and thick pads below each thumb. One day I asked her, "Grandma, why are your hands like that? They ain't the same as mine." My grandmother turned from the television and looked at me. "Boy," she said slowly, "that's from picking cotton. They've been that way since long before I was your age. I started working in the fields sharecropping when I was 4. I didn't understand. I'd helped plant things in the garden a few times, but my own hands were bony and my fingers were narrow. I held up my hands next to hers and stared at the difference.
"Mm-hmm,"
she said. "The cotton plant has pointed burrs in it. When you reach your hand in, the burrs rip it up. When I first started picking, my hands were all torn and bloody. When I got older, they got thicker and thicker until I could reach in and pull out the cotton without them bleeding." My grandmother died last year. Sometimes I can still feel her warm, thick hands in mine. For the past 3 decades, we've earnestly tried to address white body supremacy in America with reason, principles, and ideas, using dialogue, forums, discussions, education, and mental training. But the widespread destruction of black bodies continues. And some of the ugliest destruction originates with our police. Why is there such a chasm between our well-intentioned attempts to heal and the ever-growing number of dark-skinned bodies who are killed or injured, sometimes by police officers? It's not that we've been lazy or insincere, but we've focused our efforts in the wrong direction. We've tried to teach our brains to think better about race. But white body supremacy doesn't live in our thinking brains. It lives and breathes in our bodies. Our bodies have a form of knowledge that is different from our cognitive brains. This knowledge is typically experienced as a felt sense of constriction or expansion, pain or ease, energy or numbness. Often this knowledge is stored in our bodies as wordless stories about what is safe and what is dangerous. The body is where we fear, hope, and react, where we constrict and release, and where we reflexively fight, flee, or freeze. If we are to upend the status quo of white body supremacy, we must begin with our bodies. New advances in psychobiology reveal that our deepest emotions, love, fear, anger, dread, grief, sorrow, disgust, and hope, involve the activation of our bodily structures. These structures, a complex system of nerves, connect the brainstem, pharynx, heart, lungs, stomach, gut, and spine. Neuroscientists call this system the wandering nerve, or our vagus nerve. A more apt name might be our soul nerve.